Romans chapter 4, verse 21, very short verse. And being fully persuaded that when he had promised what he had promised, he was able to perform. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Simple message this morning. God always keeps his promise. God always keeps his word. God doesn't just speak words. Because his words are never idle. They're always in motion. They are always quick and powerful. He never promises and fails to deliver. God always keeps his word. And if you walk out of this building this morning with anything besides an uplifted spirit of the Lord, remember this, that God keeps his promises. It may take a while, and the road may seem a little long or a little windy, but you rest assured, if you're faithful and you keep on the path and in relationship with Jesus Christ, he will perform what he said he would do. Life has abrasiveness about it. And because of that abrasiveness of life, it can be a test, a strong test of our constitution and our will. And try as we must, oftentimes we seem weak. It's often been described as hills and valleys, our lives. We go up the mountain, we're happy for a while, and seemingly it's back down into the valley once more, and we trudge through the valley of woe or pain or difficult or sadness. And there are situations in which no matter how much we believe and trust God, our souls get tired. Sometimes we're weary within our own physical body, or our spirit seems to be weary and tired. There are three situations that try our faith and causes us to descend into the valley of discouragement. One is when the things I believe should never happen, happens. Lord, I don't believe that should happen to my life, but then it happens. Another is when things I think should happen never happen. Ever had that experience? Lord, I think this would be good for me, or I think that blessing would be, I think that door would be good if you open up that door for my life, but it never happened. And the third, and in some ways the most difficult to deal with, is when things I believe should happen now happens much later. I want it now. I need it now. But on the other hand, God knows what we have need of even before we ask him. But it's our Father's good pleasure that we ask him, and so we ask him, and he doesn't deliver at the moment that we like for him to do so. All of us go through those trying periods, and we struggle in life. Our faith, although it may be grounded in God's word, is assaulted during the times of discouragement. But what I want to deliver in this message to you this morning, that no matter how deep the valley, no matter how dark the night may become in your life, you can take heart in one fact: God always keeps his word. It may not happen like we think it should, but if God promised it, you can count on it, because he always keeps his word. He went to the cross of Calvary and died for man's sin. I wasn't born yet, but he died for my sins. And then when I was born into this world, he kept his promise. It took 20 some years in my life, but I reached to that point where the blood of the cross of Calvary was still in effect for my life. And when I repented of my sins, God forgave me, and I was washed away and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism in His name. Oh, come on, somebody. He kept His promise. It never runs out. It never quits. Second Chronicles tells of an ever-shaking event. It was an earth-shaking event. The nation of Judah had come to its time of judgment. And because of their folly and lack of faith, they had fallen into sin yet again. Have you ever found yourself stumbling in God? Have you ever found yourself, once you've been born again in water and spirit, falling into transgression, into sin, into failure? Gee, it's awful quiet in here. Here's a promise. If you ask Him, He will forgive you. My Bible tells me He's faithful and just to what? Forgive. Isn't that good news? Isn't it a wonderful promise? It's not a license to go out and sin every day. But know this, if you are brought down, God is able to lift you back up. He's able to reestablish relationship with you. That's good news. For Israel, backsliding had become a common part of their existence. God, His patience exhausted, finally brought judgment through Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonians. In the Old Testament, the story unfolds for us. This army of the Babylonians, this moment, marched into Judah, burning and looting as they went. The people were slaughtered, and a remnant marched away into captivity. It seemed like the end for Judah, just as the end had come for the northern tribes that pulled away from God. But God had a different plan for Judah. I don't care what the Word tells you. I don't care what the world tries to make you think that you are. Here is a different idea for you. God's got a different plan for your life. God has a different purpose for your life. Reject what the world tells you who you are. God says, you're my child. You're my child. You're my child. And I'll watch over you, never leave you, nor forsake you. It's the promise that God cannot break. God always has a different plan than what the world has. God told them this judgment was coming. It told them that they would be taken into captivity. But I like that conjunction word. He said, it won't last. Sometimes God takes us through things. But if you will just keep on enduring, it won't last. It'll bring you out on the other side. I don't care if it seems like you're running in your life, if you're trying to escape the problems that you're facing or going through, you just keep on running. But here's the deal. Keep running towards Jesus Christ. Moses had the Egyptian army coming after them. A great, huge army. He could see the cloud of dust kicking up behind them. They've got a Red Sea in front of them. For most people, they are complainers. They say, I love God. I like God. I want to serve God. But the first sign of problems, they start whining and crying, oh God, what are we going to do? Oh, the enemy is behind me and pursuing me, and the Red Sea is in front of me. What are we going to do? Preacher Moses, you've got to do something. And sometimes Preacher Moses don't know what to do. God had to remind him, what do you have in your hand? He said, I've got a rod. You see, we forget past deliverances. It was the same rod he had in his hand that he threw down at the feet of Pharaoh And God turned that rod into a snake. Not only a snake, but those other little fellows came along with their rods and threw them down and said, oh, we're magicians, we can do that too. And their rods turned into a snake. But here's the big deal. Here's the big deal about that is that Moses' snake ate their snake. Come on. God's got something bigger to eat up your problem than you ever realized. God will take care of your situation. Well, he delivered you last week, last month, last year. He forgave you of your sins. He did this and he did that. And then we hit another wall, another Egyptian army coming after you, and another Red Sea and possibly in front of you. And how we're going to get through this? He says, Moses, what do you have in your hand? In the time of stress, we forget what God's done in times past. What do you have that God delivered you the last time? You've got that rod of faith. 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 Just a little bit of faith. It don't take a whole lot. You just got to use what you've got. Amen? God said, watch and see if I don't do it. Whatever the world has for you, whatever the devil has planned for you, God says it won't last. Just wait and see what I can do, because I am your redeemer. I am your deliverer. Some writer put it like this in the Old Testament. He's my buckler. He's my shield. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He maketh a way where there seemeth to be no way. Why? Because he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. It's not him that leaves us. It's us who leaves him. It's not God that gets lost. It's us who gets lost. When you move away from God, you lose your way. Amen? I see some people and invite them to church. The address hasn't changed on the church in 40 plus odd years or longer, maybe 50 years, I don't know. Same location, same phone number, had for years and years and years. Church hasn't moved. Church hasn't changed address. I'm preaching this for those that don't show up on Wednesday night. That same address, same... I just couldn't miss that opportunity. I'm just to throw that out there. It's not God that moves away. It's us. It's us. But then his promises are yea and they're amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that if I show up, he shows up? Isn't it good news if I do what he asked me to do, he's there to bless it? Yeah. It's awesome. Tremendous. I like it. One of the most powerful prophecies God gave to assure Israel that they would return to that land, even though Babylon was there to come and take them away from that, Ezekiel's vision. Ezekiel's vision had been preached about a lot over the years. But Ezekiel saw the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel was taken to a hilltop and overlooking the valley, and some horrible massacre had taken place there. It was terrible. This valley was filled with human bones. They were dead, dry, human bones. The jackals had been at them, and maybe the lions had come and scattered them. Said, why are you so descriptive? Because I want you to know, someone needs to hear this. It's a real story about a real situation and a real problem. It's not a story that's just made up and placed in the scriptures. Something terrible had happened. And I've got a word for you this morning. Someone needs to hear this. Does it make any difference how it seems like that things have come along and has killed your spirit, killed your life, and has scattered you to all the corners of the world? God made a promise. He'll not leave you nor forsake you. He made it and secured it with his death at the cross of Calvary when he shed his blood, took the stripes, took your place. Maybe the lions had come along and scattered them. None were in their place. None was connected together in a vast chaos of bones with no order, hope. The prophet Ezekiel stood up, looking at that hopeless situation, and God said to Ezekiel, "Can they live?" Ezekiel replied, "Thou knowest." In some ways, I have thought that Ezekiel was hedging his bets. He didn't want to be wrong, didn't want to say the wrong thing. And so his reply was, "Thou knowest. Only you know, Lord." And I used to think he was just being cautious, like you and me. But I don't believe that anymore. I think Ezekiel had come to recognize a fundamental truth, that there are situations so extreme that only God can put them back together again. Only the power of God can bring order and resolution to a situation. So Ezekiel wasn't questioning God's ability. He was bowing to the fact that if there's going to be life here, if there's going to be a miracle here, he couldn't do it in himself, but God could do it. Only God knows how to bring life to a situation that seems dead and scattered and broken apart. If your life feels that way, only God can put life within you. This is why he said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter in my name." Why? Because the brokenness of your life and the emptiness of your life and the scatteredness of your very spirit, there's only one thing that can bring life, and that is the Spirit of God. And he put life. But before he put life into them, he brought them back together again. You have no idea, maybe you do, how it feels to be put back together again. How it feels to be in the presence of God and feel the warmth, anointing, and feel something vibrating inside of you that says, "I must worship him. I must dance before him. I must worship him. I must give him the thanks and the praise. I come with no intention, but all of a sudden in his presence, in his power, in his glory, in his magnificent grace." I cannot help myself. I cannot help myself. I must tell him how wonderful he is. I must tell him how awesome he is. I've got to tell him, I've never felt so put together in all my life. Women stand in front of mirrors for hours, at least for a few minutes. "What are you doing, honey?" "I'm putting myself together." Huh? How many's ever tried to how many's ever tried to put themselves together? Huh? Let me translate that. You was a part. You was a mess. Amen? Nobody here will admit that, will you? An honest man in the corner over here. I was a mess. I was a mess. I was a shambles. I was a wreck. My wife was raised in this. She was brought up in this. She was born physically into it. And of course, she had to repent and be baptized and all that stuff. But She was familiar with the surroundings. And when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and when I began to try to serve him the best of my abilities with all of my faults, with all of my scatteredness, I would come to church and I would worship until the suit that I was wearing was wringing wet. So much so, it was coming through the jacket that I was wearing. My pants was wet from the perspiration. That's trying to be nice, not trying to say sweat, but it. I was a sweaty mess. My shirt was a sweaty mess. And one day she asked me, "Why do you do that?" And I said, "You have no idea what you have. You have no idea what you possess. There's nothing in the world that speaks to you that can duplicate the cleanliness of God. The world will get you dirty and messed up. That's why the scripture says, if you're not careful, he'll return you back to the pigsty, out of the wallow that you came from, out of the filth and the dirt of the world and the drugs and the alcohol and all kinds of things out there. If you're not careful, the world wants to drag you back to the mud pit of filthiness. But there's nothing like feeling clean, whole, washed. So why do you want to go back to that? Why would you want to go back to that? My boys would come in from playing, and boys do not stay clean. They get dirty. Dirty little boys. Stinky little boys. And their mother was always cleaning them up. Washing their faces, putting them in the bathtub. God does you the same way. You come in from the world and playing with the world, and you come in dirty. See, why do we have singing and worshiping? Why do we do that? Because it gives us an opportunity to wash our mind and to wash our spirit in the presence of God. The word and the cleansing of that cleanses the filthiness of the words, and the words are spoken by the world into our spirit, and we come to get cleansed and refreshed again. It's like a mother who washes the face, and all the skins on our knees and elbows. God heals every hurt because he promised that he would. Amen. Come home, come home. The master is calling. Amen. Come on, prodigal son. Come on, prodigal son. It didn't work out very well out there. No, it didn't. I want to tell you this morning that God will never reject you if you want to come home. He promised that he would not. He promised that he would not. Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. And that young man climbed off of the fence. You see, there's a lot of people sitting on the fence today. They don't know where to get all the way into the body of Christ, into the church, or they just want to kind of sit on the fence and kind of be wooed by either the world or the church. In church, I'm for the church. Get out of church, the woo of the world is wooing and pulling and tugging and all of that. It's time to get off of the fence and come home. in my father's house. He said, the servants are doing better than I am. You say, well, the world is difficult and life is difficult. Yes, it is. But in the presence of God, at His right hand, there is power forevermore. In His presence, there is joy unspeakable to us. Where can I find it? You can find it anywhere, anytime, in any place. You can find it in the woods. You can find it driving down the road in your automobile. You can find it standing in your bedroom. You can stand it leaning over a kitchen sink and say, God, how much I love you. Just the mention of His name. His presence comes sweeping in. Something about the promises of God that is so tremendous. And I know it's impossible for us to fix some things. We only bring more trouble and pain in our lives when we try. What this prophet Ezekiel was saying is, I'm just going to put this in your hands, God. If you want to fix it, have at it. You know how to do it. And there's times we have to put our life into God's hands and say, God, you're the only one that can fix it. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. Only you, God, are able to fix it. It's time to quit obsessing. It's time to quit living in frustration. It's time to quit leaning on the arm of man. Why don't you tell God, you know how to fix this in my life. So I'm going to trust you to take care of the situation. God then told Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. You see, when you can't fix it, when you can't handle it anymore, you give it to God and say, God, you know how to do that. And then God turned around and spoke to Ezekiel. He said, preach. Sometimes you have to speak to your problem. Speak to the situation. Speak to the scattering of the things that has been scattered in your life and say, God, you know how to pull it back together. You know how to heal it. You know how to mend it. You know how to connect it all back together. Ezekiel prophesied. He spoke to the dry bones, the scattered bones, and all of a sudden, bones started moving across the valley to hook up with other bones. The right bones, the finger to the hand, hand to the arm to the shoulder, until finally, they had all come together. Where there had been chaos, there was now order. Where there had been only a pile of bones, now there were fully formed skeletons. Then muscles and sinew and skin appeared on the bones. Fully formed men. Lying on the valley floor. I believe this morning as I close out, God wants me to tell you to have faith in His word. It will bring order out of chaos of your life because He always keeps His word. Can they live? God asked again to Ezekiel. Looked in wonder at the scene before him. And once again, Ezekiel says, Thou knowest. There's going to be many people that's going to come into the body of Christ. And we may say, is there any hope for them? People who are struggling with addiction. People who have broken lives and broken marriages. Broken children. And we look at them and say, is there any hope? How can this be fixed? How can this be healed? How can this be put together? And God says to us, can these live? And our response is, thou knowest. Thou knowest. Something miraculous happened. Tremendously happened. Like it always does. God tells him to preach to the wind. Preach to the wind, came the order, and Ezekiel did. Breath poured into lungs, hearts jump started, eyes sprang open. And I see men and women who once were dead and their lives broken and scattered in this congregation. It's not a valley of dried and scattered bones anymore, because God kept His promise. I see bodies with sinew and muscle and flesh filled with life, filled with the Spirit of God. Could someone say of you, can these bones live? Can that life be put back together again? And as a preacher, oftentimes I've got to say, God, thou knowest. I found this to be true. If you want to be put back together, if you truly want to live a life of success and grace, God will keep His promise. Amen. And fill you with His Spirit. Yes, and put life within inside of you. Because God always keeps His promise. Has God ever made you a promise? Individually, I'm talking here. Maybe it's a family. Maybe it's your individual life. The world's words will evaporate, will leave you stranded, will leave you broken. God goes beyond just words. He amplifies the words into His promises. They're always active. Always active. Always. Always. It is impossible for God to lie. I've had people said God spoke to me or give me a dream that this, a new building and perhaps a balcony in it and people are just filled up. It's impossible for God to lie. So I walk the best of my ability in the Spirit. We walk as a people, not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. If you bring your problem to Him, He will take care of it. Why? Give me something, Pastor. Give. He said, if you cast all of your cares on Him, He will care for your soul. These bodies will pass away one day. They'll return back to the earth. But your spirit, your soul is going to live somewhere in eternity. Can't imagine. It's beyond comprehension what it's going to be like in the presence of God around the throne. More than our minds can comprehend or our our spirit's able to absorb. But I'll tell you this, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. Anybody got a promise that God said to you? Your child's going to come back to God. Your life is going to be enhanced. Come on. This is not the day to be ashamed. Sometimes our lives feel like Humpty Dumpty. We got pushed off of the ledge and we're just broken. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put old Humpty back together again. I've seen pictures where artists would put Humpty Dumpty, that egg, you know what I'm talking about? Somebody tried to put him back together again and just Band-Aid up, Band-Aid over here, Band-Aid over there. Glued him back together, and here's all the cracks, you know, where he was broken. Yeah. Anybody seen a picture like that before? Amen. Doesn't work that way with God. He makes you a brand new creature. Amen. No scars, no Band-Aids, you're just brand new. Awesome. Pretty cool. God always keeps His word. Always keeps His promises. Amen. I want you to just bow your heads for a moment. Would you do that? Bow your heads right where you're sitting. I want you to kind of think back over your life. Now, you may not have had a lot of experiences, but I will tell you this. Head bowed, eye closed. God spoke to my heart when I was just a child. I didn't understand it, didn't comprehend it. While man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And as I grew up into a young man, with all the trouble and all the problems I had in my life, He saw a heart that He could mold and shape into His will and purpose. God had made a promise to you from a child on up, and you tried your best to keep that promise in your life and keep it alive. If it's there, I want you to know, hang on to it. Don't ever turn loose of the promises. Don't turn loose of the Word of God. Now, let's stand together reverently this morning. In the presence of the Lord. I'm going to invite you to come with me around this altar this morning. And let's share together the promise that God has ever given you. One promise we can all agree on. He has promised to give you eternal life. If you come submissive to His will and His purpose, repentance of sins and born again of water and spirit, and if you have not experienced that as yet, the promise that you can share is, if you will come and lay them down before Him, He will, if you ask Him, forgive you of your sins and of your trespasses. A promise He cannot break. A promise He will never turn you away from. Maybe God's answered a promise for you. Maybe God has answered a prayer for you. Would you just come and join me down here this morning and just give Him thanks and praise. If you're coming, don't block the aisleway. Just kind of move over to the side because multitudes are coming. Multitudes, come on. Come up closer to the altar area. Leave room for others. And I want you to just raise your hands with you, with me. Let's thank Him for every promise He's ever given you. Every answered promise He's ever answered. Or yet, praising Him for what He's going to answer. Thank Him for what He's going to do. Thank Him to walk in His presence where you feel clean, where you feel renewed, where the blessings of the Lord flows like rivers of living water. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.